بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The chapter on riba. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعلما متقبلا. أسأل الله تعالى أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى. إن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد فإخوتي الكرام السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. I'd like to welcome you to today's lesson, which is the continuation of the commentary on the book Bulugh al-Maram by Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar Asqalani. And this commentary is from Masjid Nabawi in Madinatul Munawwara by our Sheikh Atiyah Muhammad Salim, may Allah have mercy on his soul. And Alhamdulillah, we've reached a new chapter in the book of business transactions, Kitab al-Buyur. This chapter is on the riba, Kitab al-Riba. And riba is the usury, the interest on the transactions or the usury, and riba is one of the greatest of the major sins. One of the greatest of the major sins. So for this reason it's very important to learn about the various types of the riba so that we can avoid falling into them. And also the scholars, they paid a great deal of attention to the types of riba, and they went into detail about the different aspects of the riba. So inshallah today we'll begin this chapter inshallah ta'ala. And the first hadith we have, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وعن جابر رضي الله عنه قال لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم آكل الربا وموكله وشاهديه وقال هم سواء. Hum Salah. This hadith is narrated by Imam Muslim, and a version of it is narrated in Al-Bukhari. The Prophet ﷺ, he stated in the hadith narrated by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet ﷺ cursed the one who eats the riba and the one who gives the riba and the one who writes it down and the people or the two people who witness the contract. And then he said, they are the same. They are whom? Sawa. They are the same. So here, beloved brothers in Islam, we have the one who eats the riba. And scholars, they say that a person eating the riba is the one who takes the riba from others. And taking the riba is forbidden. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he calls them eating the riba, aklu riba. But in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he describes the Yahud and he says akhdha riba. He doesn't use the word akal, but he uses the word akh. He says wa akhdhihim riba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, by their oppression, فَبِظُلْمٍ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا حَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَحِلَّتْ لَهُمْ. Because of the wrongdoing of the Yahud, we forbade for them the good things that were permissible for them, وَبِصَدِّهِمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And by their blocking the way of Allah, كَثِيرًا وَأَخْذِهِمُ الرِّبَى وَقَدْ نُهُوا عَنْهُ. And Allah says, and their taking of the riba, even though it was forbidden for them. So here, Allah uses the word akhadh. But in the other verse, Allah says, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى. Those who eat the riba. لَا يَقُومُونَ. They do not stand up, etc. In Surah Al-Baqarah. So why, when Allah describes the Yahud, He says, they took the riba, أَخَذَهُمُ الرِّبَى. And for other people, Allah says, أَكَلَ الرِّبَى. Here, the ulama, they explain that when you say eating the riba, aklu riba, it implies that they had some need for that riba, for their sustenance. Some people, they needed to use that riba as a means of feeding themselves, to sustain themselves. But akhav, taking the riba, that implies that the Yahud didn't have a need for that riba. They were already rich. They took the riba as a means of livelihood. They took it as a way of earning profit without having a great need for it. Akhav is more general than akav. So here the scholars say that the Yahud, they took riba not out of need for it to feed themselves, but because of a business in order to profit from it, in order to benefit from the riba. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the taking of the riba. And the curse of the Prophet is not only for the one who eats the riba, but also the one who gives the riba. The one who gives the riba is also cursed or shares in the punishment. The one who gives the riba also shares in the punishment. And the two people who witness the contract, the shahideen, the two people who witness the contract and the one who writes it down. All of these people are mentioned in the curse of the Prophet ﷺ. So the ulama, they say that the two people who witness it, if they know that this contract has riba in it, they will be guilty of sin. But say somebody came and he said, I'm giving a loan to my friend here for 1,000 and he's going to pay me back this 1,000. He owes me 1,000, he'll pay it 1 year later. And the person, he witnesses it, but actually he had only given him 800 and he's going to pay him 1,000 a year later. But the one who witnessed it, or the one who wrote it down, didn't know that part. Will he have any sin?
No.
In that case, he doesn't have the sin. Because he's just witnessing a contract of 1,000 that's due after 1 year. What they did of giving him only 800 and the riba of 1,000, the additional 200 was not known to the witnesses and the one writing. So then the witness and the one writing would not have any sin on that, in that case. And so if they know what's being done, they know there's riba, then they're as if they're partners in the giving of the riba. They're shariq, they participate in it. And this is just like riba, the example, is when somebody is backbiting. The sin is not only on the one who does the riba. If somebody goes and sits with that other person, and he listens to the riba, and he follows it and pays attention to it, then as if he is a partner in the doing of the riba. So he would also share in the sin. And the Prophet ﷺ, there's a saying in Arabic which says that a person who listens to sin is a partner with the one who says it. سَامِعُ ذَمِّي شَرِيكٌ مِقَائِنِي. The one who hears the evil is a partner with the one who says it. And وَمُطْعِمٌ مَكُورٍ شَرِيكٌ لِآخِرٍ. And the one who gives the food, the one who gives the food is a partner with the one who eats it. And they give an example of this also. That if, say, a person came into a house and there was some food on the table, that food didn't belong to you. And the person is very, very hungry, and he says, can I eat this food? But that food doesn't belong to you. But you say to him, go ahead, eat the food. You can have it. You can eat it. So now you have given him authority to eat the food which you had no right to in the first place. So now you would share the sin of him eating the food that did not belong to him. That person who told him, go ahead, you can eat it, he would be a partner in the sin of eating something that didn't belong to him. So this is how the witnesses and the one writing would also have the sin. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, they are all the same. Hum sawa. The one who gives the riba, the one who eats the riba, The one who witnesses it while knowing that it's riba, and the one who writes it down, knowing that it's riba, they are all the same in terms of sin, in terms of having sin. Okay, so we can go to the next hadith, inshallah ta'ala. The next hadith is, وَعَنْ أَبْدُ اللَّهِ بِنْ مَسْعُودِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَنْ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الرِّبَى ثَلَاثَ وَسَبْعُونَ بَعْبًا أَيْسَرَهُمَا مِثْلُ أَنْ يَنْكِحَ الرَّجُلُ أُمَّهُ وَإِنَّ أَرْبَى الرِّبَى عِرْضُ الرَّجُلُ الْمُسْلِمِ رواه ابن ماجة مختصرا والحاكم لتمامه وصححه. So here in this hadith, respected brothers in Islam, Ibn Hajar, he brings another hadith on the topic of riba and showing the danger or the gravity of the sin of riba. On the authority of Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet ﷺ said, riba is of 73 different chapters, 73 different types, the least of which is like a man marrying his own mother, like a man having the relations with his mother. And the essence of riba is violating the honor of your Muslim brother or a Muslim man. Okay. So here, when we see this hadith, how the Prophet ﷺ described riba as being 73 types, and the least of which is like the grave sin that he mentioned, it shows us the ugliness, the seriousness, the gravity of riba, and how if this is the least type of riba, this major, this huge sin of a man marrying his mother, the least type, so how about the other types of riba? Something we can't even imagine how grave this is in the sight of Allah. And it shakes the heart, it makes one be shocked by it. So here the Prophet ﷺ, he warned about riba, and he said that it's a violation of the honor of a Muslim. It's a violation of the honor of a Muslim. Because it's taking his wealth wrongfully, taking his wealth without his will. And this is similar to like riba. Similar to riba is a person, he takes the honor of his brother without him desiring it. So here the Prophet ﷺ, he said the essence of riba is dishonoring a fellow Muslim, taking advantage of his honor and wronging him in this way. And the Shaykh, he said that this shows you that the danger of the sacredness of the honor of a Muslim. The Muslim is so honored and so sacred in the sight of Allah, his dignity and his honor, even more sacred than the Kaaba, as some of the ulama say. A Muslim, his honor is more sacred than the sacredness of the Kaaba. Because if somebody were to destroy the Kaaba, it could be rebuilt on its foundation. The bricks are there, the land is there, they can rebuild it. But if somebody destroys the honor and reputation of a Muslim, or if somebody spills the blood of a Muslim, there's no way to return it back to the way it was. So in Islam, the honor of the Muslim is very, very great. Now, also here, when we look in the different chapters about the danger of riba, we see how the Prophet ﷺ described how bad it is, like a man marrying his mother, the least of it. And there's other books that describe the harms of riba on the society. There's other books which talk about how when people deal in riba, Allah destroys the barakah in the society. He makes the people their livelihood is reduced, their lifespan is shortened, and many, many other things that are caused by riba. So when people practice riba, Allah withholds the rain, and He doesn't give them blessing and barakah in their livelihood. And so the Shaykh also mentioned, inshallah, one more point is that the mushrikeen, they claim that they try to deny that riba is a sin. They say, إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ الْرِبَى. The people in Jahiliyyah, they said, what's wrong with riba? It's like buying and selling. When you buy and sell something, you make a profit. And when you trade in riba, you're making up the interest as your profit. This was their logic. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He responded to them in a very stern way. He says, إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ, they say, إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ riba. Allah says, وَأَحَلُّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعُ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَى. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them point blank, Allah has made riba haram, and He has made buying and selling haram. And He did, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not even give them the reason behind it. As if to say that they don't deserve this thinking that they have, they don't even deserve to be reasoned with. They have this corrupt thinking. Allah says, keep your logic to yourself. We have made riba haram and we have made selling haram. It's in a very stern way. أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْءُ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَى. That was the way that Allah responded to this logic that they had. And in fact, there is a difference in the difference between buying and selling, and the difference between riba, which the scholars, they discuss, you know, why is it different? Why is riba haram and why is buying and selling halal? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not respond to them because they, because of the lack of them deserving a response. They didn't want to submit to the commandment of Allah. So Allah just leaves it at that. He says, Allah has made the riba haram, and He has made selling halal. Now, okay, so inshallah, I think we will pause here, inshallah. Now, one more point, I guess one last point, inshallah, may Allah reward you, is that when it comes to the riba, an important aspect of a Muslim's life is trying to earn things from halal and try to feed himself and his children from halal. So when somebody, they deal in riba, they're feeding themselves and their children from haram. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said that your flesh and blood and bones come from what you eat. And whoever is fed with halal, that body deserves the Jannah. And whoever's body is fed with haram, then the hellfire has more right to that body. So it shows the importance of the practical purpose of studying about riba is that we should try to avoid it as much as we can. Avoid falling into riba as much as we can, because we want to make sure that ourselves and our family are fed with the halal. And we'll just close with a story the Shaykh mentioned last time, that some people, there was a gathering of the 36 Muslim nations in Malaysia, and they said that we want to make a decree with all of these Muslim countries together, and all the scholars, we're going to issue a decree that says that riba is halal, because there's a necessity for it, there's a darura for it. And so the Shaykh said that there was a very heated discussion, and in the end they had to back away from the decree. And they realized that there is no necessity. If we look in the Sharia of Islam, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there's no necessity to deal with riba. And there's not even logically, it doesn't make sense that one has to permit riba as a necessity of life. And so one of the people in the conference, he stood up and he said, did we come here to Malaysia to make war with Allah and His Messenger? Did we come here to make riba permissible, and Allah has waged war against the riba? And so finally the people, they abandoned that decree, and they did not issue the decree saying that riba is allowed for necessity. So alhamdulillah, we inshallah next time we'll talk about the different types of riba, and we'll begin with trading gold for gold. This is one of the chapters, and then the scholars will talk about sarf, which is exchanging money, like exchanging dollars for sterling, etc., and silver for silver, and even wheat and barley and dates. There's a lot of rulings regarding these, how this kind of sale should be done between Muslims, inshallah. So hopefully next time we'll go into a little bit more detail about that, inshallah. Any questions up to here, inshallah? Any questions about the riba? Yes,
these people that gather in Malaysia.
Yes.
Dollars.
Yes. This is a body of 36 Muslim nations that they have yearly conferences in different countries.
So for them to go, you know, that far to make a riba permissible, did they have any intelligence or? were they scholars or politicians, or maybe economists?
Right. Jazakallah khair for the question. A lot of times, well, you see that alhamdulillah, that the scholars in the end, they rejected that decree. Perhaps it was proposed by somebody, because the way that these fiqh councils work, people, they issue questions or they issue requests to the scholars. So they say, we need a ruling on this issue. And so perhaps some group of bankers or some people put forward this request. They said, we need permission to deal in riba in the international market or something like that. So we want you to have a conference on it. So they had the conference, and alhamdulillah, Allah protected his deen. People stood up and they said, this, we cannot do this. How can we make riba permissible? And they backed off from the proposal. So it doesn't necessarily mean that the scholars themselves wanted that. It could have been some outside body. And that organization is not only a fiqh organization. They have political, I think it's the Organization of Islamic Conference. They have different bodies within it. They have political and economic sections, and they have a scholarly section. So it could be that some of the economists, and this is probably the argument of some economists, that we need to deal with riba. It's a necessity in the 21st century. So then, alhamdulillah, the ulama, they said, no, there's no necessity to deal with riba. And they rejected that, and they canceled that proposal. So, alhamdulillah. And, of course, we see now that, a lot of the Muslim institutions that didn't deal with riba, they were protected when there was economic crisis in the banking systems. They were protected, their assets were protected because they didn't deal in the interest. So, alhamdulillah, the Islamic principles were held up by that body. So, alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair. Any other questions, inshallah? Next time we'll get into more of the details. I think this is just an introduction today, inshallah. Next week, inshallah, we'll go into more of the details of the riba, inshallah. JazakAllah khair. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.